Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's our pleasure right now to be joined by Joe Theismann, former NFL quarterback, Super Bowl champion, joins us now. Hey, Joe, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes this morning.
Joe, what's up?
You're welcome. Morning, guys.
You know, Joe, we start out in Indianapolis, run around the National Football League here, and your reaction, to the news. We know how physical the game is. Andrew Luck's been through a lot of injuries over his brief 7-year career. Your reaction to Andrew Luck calling it a career?
I was surprised. Obviously the timing was such that it was unusual, but, you never know when the mind's going to finally say, I'm done. He's been through a lot. People don't have, I think, an idea or a concept of how grueling rehabilitation is. You just don't feel like you're a part of anything, although everybody wants to make you feel that way. You get up in the morning, you hurt. You go to bed at night, you hurt. And for Andrew, it's been, as he mentioned, 4 solid years. And missed an entire year last year. Wondered how much more his mind and his body could take. And, I admire the fact that he made a decision of his own accord. I never had a chance to make a choice. I was gone from the game, but I didn't get a chance to say I want to finish this or I don't want to finish it. But in his case, I respect and admire his decision and wish him all luck in the world going forward.
Yeah, Joe, it's funny you keep mentioning about his mind, and that's something that Moose and I have been talking about yesterday. And now these injuries, and he's talked about it, Andrew Luck, how it's kind of pulled the passion out of it for him, to keep grinding out as an NFL player, as a quarterback, and all the demands on that, and just the rehab, going to treatment all the time, and this hold, and how the stress that's on his family. So, and there's been a lot of people, as you know, Joe, that have had these hot takes and that have ripped them. And, obviously people in the media have done that because they're just trying to get some attention. Or they just never lived and never got out there and sweated.
You never get a chance to enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Right.
I mean, for us, Sunday is what it's all about. I used to love practice, too. But for a lot of guys, man, getting dressed on Sunday, walking out into that stadium, you're a gladiator. There's pageantry to it. There's the anticipation. There's the excitement. There's the exhilaration. It's not there. Where's the end game? You say to yourself, where's the fun, man? I did this when I was a kid. And I did it because I loved it.
Right.
Take the money out of it. I still believe a lot of guys would play. I go back to when I played. We didn't have this kind of money laying around.
Sure.
They weren't giving us this kind of money. And these kids love the game as well. Hmm. And Andrew is one of those indications of like, hey, it's more than about money. He didn't know he was going to get the balance, $24 million.
Right.
Mr. Irsay did that for him.
Did the right thing.
He didn't know that.
He didn't know that, right.
But so he was willing to walk away from it all. The frustration is unbelievable. And that's why I got a little sideways when they booed him the other night. Mm. Come on.
Yeah.
For 7 years, the guy's given you everything he's got. And now all of a sudden, some of the fans are going to boo him because he's making a decision that's right for him and not right for, quote unquote, them. It's a little absurd.
Well, I said the other day, I felt like it was entitlement. Moose and I had a discussion about this the other day because I felt like the fans were a little too entitled, and I agree with you, Joe. So,
yeah, Joe. They have every right to want it. They vent their frustration, but when somebody makes a decision based upon their mental and or physical health, I think you have to be more understanding than that.
Joe, we Taz and I talked about last hour, a little surprised by the criticism of a former NFL quarterback, Steve Berline, who went on, social media, has been interviewed in a number of different places, including here, CBS Sports Radio as well, critical of the Luck decision. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, it does. Steve's a guy who was beat up. Everybody has different passions. What right do we have as an individual to judge someone else about anything they decide they want to do? You don't know what's going on in their head. You don't know what's going on in their life. And you can never put yourself in their situation. Even though I've seen people with Alex Smith had a similar injury to mine, but I can't put myself in Alex's head.
Right.
And I think it's wrong for any player to come out and judge another player because they made a decision regarding their decision to either stay or leave the game. I think it is wrong.
Yeah, I agree. we talked, Moose and I were talking earlier about, like, I brought up the fact of, like, if, I only could imagine, never done it. If you're an NFL quarterback, especially a starting quarterback, you know, it's your lifestyle. So it's not just at the facility. It's not just practice, right? When you're going home, I mean, I'm assuming it's very tough on the family, on your wife, because you're, you know, you're locked into you're working on plays. You're in front of a laptop or a computer. You're going over stuff. Correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, you live this. I mean, it's a lifestyle. It's not a job.
How happy can you be at home, away from the facility, away from the game? How happy can you be if you hurt every day of your life? And this goes beyond football. You talk to anybody that wakes up with pain. It wears on you. It wears on you more mentally than it does physically. But then all those people around you, that circle in your life of people around you, it's hard to be up, and it's hard to play with the kids. It's hard to go do things. It's hard to go to dinner. It's hard to go to a movie. Besides, you have your work to cram everything in, but then it just becomes, like I say, where's the end game for you with the rehabilitation? Yeah, and when I started hearing the different injuries, somebody asked me about a week or so ago about Andrew and the injuries. I said, if anything, he shouldn't play for a long time. You know, first thing I thought of, calf injury. I'm thinking Kevin Durant, Achilles issue.
Yeah, yep.
That's the first thing. Then it becomes a high ankle sprain. Then it's some type of a bone chip or something. And it's like nobody ever really figured out, or the reports never really honed in on one particular thing that he had that he could work on. And let me tell you, high ankle sprains, they're at least that's 6-8 weeks before you get really feeling good. And with a quarterback, people tend to look at the arm and the arm strength of an individual, but it really starts with the leg. Every game starts with the leg, whether you're a pitcher, whether you're a golfer, whether you're a hockey player, whether you're a basketball player, right, whether you're a football player. It all starts with your feet,
it's
your leg.
It's your base. Yeah.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
It's pyramids are not built upside down,
guys. Of course, right.
No,
it's your base.
Right, that's true. Exactly. You're right about that. Joe, do you think, you mentioned a long while, do you think we've seen the last of Andrew Luck playing football?
I think so. Once the pilot light starts to dim, you'd make a huge mistake if you came back, because there's always that doubt in your mind. I don't believe that Andrew is going to be one to come back. I felt that way about Barry Sanders. Barry and I went into the College Football Hall of Fame together. We sat next to one another at a press conference, and I asked him, I said, why'd you leave the game? He said, it just wasn't there for me anymore. He was tired of the Lions not putting together a football team that he felt, you know, was going to have a shot. And everybody kept saying, oh, Barry will come back. Barry will come back. He's so close to the record. When they want him to come back. What it amounts to is the fans, the media, they want him back.
Well, you want to see great players play football. And though walk away early. It's tough as a fan.
You have to respect Jim Brown. You have to respect the individual's decision. Yes, he was entertaining for a tremendous amount of time. Yes, he won games. Yes, he had big games. I'm talking about Andrew now. He did all those things. Now it was his time to leave. Let's just say thank you and wish him luck going forward and hope he gets really healthy and enjoys his life.
You're listening to Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Our special guest right now is legendary quarterback, the Joe Theismann, number 7 himself. Joe, so now they move on, the Colts, and you got Brissett. Okay, Jacoby Brissett, who's set now to be the one, to be the starter, and he's been working with the ones all. He's been the starter throughout camp and everything, and even from the spring when Luck was out injured. So they have a great offensive line. Well, really good offensive line, real good defensive, good pieces all the way around them. How do you think that this young quarterback at 26 years old, Brissett, will make out with this team?
I think the transition will be seamless. He played a fair amount last year. It's not like you're taking somebody who hasn't played any football.
Right.
So I think he's familiar with the system. Frank's familiar with him. He knows the offense. You know, the quarterback position, whether you're a Tom Brady, an Andrew Luck, a guy like a Kyler Murray coming in, no matter what stage of the game you're entering, it still boils down to managing the football game. And there are other – oh, by the way, there are other guys on the field. It's not going to be Jacoby Brissett versus whomever they're playing.
Right.
He's one element. And this is the thing that I had to learn, is it can't be about you trying to make plays. It's about you facilitating opportunities for other guys to be able to make plays. That's what the quarterback decision is. You're a facilitator. You get the ball out of your hands. Guys make plays. You make a good decision on third down. You're in a field goal range. You don't take a sack on first and 10. That's all part of the process. And for in the Colts' sake and Jacoby's sake, he's worked all through the OTAs, all through the mini camps, all through training camp. He's been there before. I think that the Colts were going to be a pretty darn good football team going forward. I still think they're going to be a pretty darn good football team.
Joe, let's head down to Washington, a franchise that you know very, very well. You're a legendary Redskin. Keenum's going to be the starter week one. The decision by Gruden and guys to name Keenum the opening week starter, and your thoughts on what you saw from Haskins in the preseason.
First of all, there was no doubt it was either going to be Cole McCoy or Case Keenum in my mind. Dwayne had 13 games in college, and the process takes a while. The offense is very, very wordy. It becomes a snapshot for a quarterback, and I think when you're young, you just don't see the pictures as clearly as you're going to need to be able to be effective at that position. In Colt's case, he never had a chance to compete. You know, watching him in training camp was the first time he took snaps. No OTAs, no mini camps, just in training camp. He was still hobbled, so he's not healthy. And it'll be. I'm curious to see what the decision will be going forward. Whether he remains, whether he goes to IR with the possibility of coming back, or what they want to do with him. But Case was the veteran. He's been in different systems. He 2 years ago in Minneapolis. We know what happened in Minnesota.
Right.
He had a very successful season. Dwayne physically has all the tools. It's just a question of learning the game of professional football. And the speed of the opener in Philadelphia will be different than anything anybody would face. And Case has been there. So it just made a lot of sense that Case was going to be the starter with the circumstances that presented the Redskins going forward. Now, going forward, you know, Dwayne comes back. I mean, hopefully Case stays healthy through the year. Dwayne gets a chance to continue to learn and grow. And then next year, you never know. Everybody says, well, Dwayne Haskins is the quarterback after week 10. They have a bye. Or next year. What happens if Case – I'm going the other way. What happens if the Redskins surprise everybody? Nobody expects anything from the Redskins. Concede that, right?
Right, right.
That's what you've heard, same thing.
Agreed.
You know, 5-11, whatever. Crazy number. Let's say they do quite well, which I personally think they can. All of a sudden, Case has a solid year. Do you automatically feel like Dwayne's going to be the quarterback? Case has only been in this league 7 years.
Right, right.
So
right.
he's really not in his, been in his league a long time and never been able really to find a place to call home. Hmm. So, you know, this thing is yet to play itself out. I think there's more to this story.
So, Joe, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was really, really cool of you, man, because Haskins, he was number seven, as you know, and most know, for the rookie was number seven for the Redskins. And as you're the man who, in my opinion, for the Redskins is number seven. So, but you gave you gave the nod. You gave the nod to the young kid. You gave the blessing for him to wear, for Haskins to wear seven. Talk on that, if you don't mind. And I know he was very thankful also.
Well, yeah, Dwayne's he's a terrific young man. He's smart. He has all the tangibles as well as intangibles. Like I said, the only thing he's lacking is experience.
Right.
When I heard that he wanted to wear the number, and no one had worn it in 33 years. So the Redskins didn't retire it, so it was still a number available. And so I heard that he wanted to wear it. I reached out to him. We had a conversation, and I said this to him. I said, Dwayne, why don't you think about this? I know you wore it in high school. I know you wore it in college. And guys get really attached to numbers. We
yes.
know that.
Yep, true.
So I simply said, why don't you think about creating your own legacy? You know, take your own number. Make this number yours and build it going forward. And I said, take a couple days and think about it. He said, I will. So he talked to his family and whomever around, and he came back and said, I really would like to wear seven. I said, great. You know, that's terrific. I mean, the last thing he needed to worry about or have a conversation about getting ready to play football was a conversation about the number that Joe Theismann wore.
Right.
The
right.
number seven. And it wasn't like, you know, I'm ordaining him with the number. He asked. He wanted to wear it. It wasn't retired. I didn't have a problem with it whatsoever. It's that simple.
That's nice.
You know, Joe, when you look at the young crop of quarterbacks in the National Football League, Darnold and Allen and everything, which guy do you look at that you're the most impressed with?
Well, I think Sam has made great strides up with the Jets. The guy that, it's not just impressed, but this is my curious guy for the year. It's Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't play a lot. Wasn't the best thrower of the football. Throws a little bit like Teddy Bridgewater, a little sort of half sidearm kind of throw. But he's such a threat with his legs. They're a terrific football team. I think you're going to see, this is my prediction, I think there's a great chance you're going to see Baltimore and Kansas City in the AFC Championship game.
Really?
I think the Ravens are for real. I think their defense was one last year in a lot of categories. I don't see that changing a whole lot. Pittsburgh's going through a transition. Cleveland has great expectations. That should be a really great contest between those two. And Cincinnati, I still think, is sort of now starting to move forward in a different direction, in a building direction. But we've got the Ravens on Thursday night here against the Redskins. Although their starters won't play, I think Lamar Jackson is the one. Let's see what kind of stride he makes. Can he make the same kind of stride that Sam has made in New York with the Jets as far as the comfort level you see him play at the quarterback position? So to me, I'm curious to see how he grows and what he's capable of doing, because certainly he's an unbelievable threat with his legs.
So John, a little favor. I'm a Bills fan, so if you can give a little breakdown on our sophomore quarterback there, Josh Allen. Tell me what pros and cons, break them down for me.
Terrific, strong arm.
Yeah.
Absolutely a strong arm. Big, tough, strong kid. Runs exceptionally well for somebody his size, I think.
Right, I agree.
I think those are... The thing is, again, young in the game, has a great supporting cast. Another terrific defensive football team, the Buffalo Bills.
Right,
and you have, you know, they'll call plays to the strength of their football team. They're going to ask Josh to make plays. I think sometimes he throws his hard ball a little too hard, and I think the one thing he really needs to concentrate and work on is accuracy.
Yeah,
I mean, he needs to up the completion percentage 5-8%, and he's capable of doing that. Had a chance to be out at the American Century Golf Tournament, watch him hit golf balls. Holy mackerel.
Strong, right? I'm sure it's strong.
I'll tell you a real quick story. So Chris Sims is there.
Yeah.
And so we're talking, and he's watching Josh hit balls. And, you know, Chris sort of made a comment to the effect of, this is the exact quote, but, you know, sure wish he could hit his receivers like that. You know, sort of a little tongue-in-cheek,
a little shot, like Chris can only be.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. So Josh turns around and looks at him. There's a fence 310 yards out on the practice range. He knocks the ball over the fence.
That's nice.
Wow.
He hits it over the fence. So I love the competitive spirit in him.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He's a terrific competitor. Now it's the mechanics of the game that he has to work on. And that's what I talk about a facilitator at the quarterback position. You have to be able to allow the guys around you to make plays. If it's 3rd and 10 and your halfback is open at 6 yards and that's the only throw, make it. Let him go pick up the other 4 or punt. Let the punter punt. Let the punt team cover. And let the defense go get you the ball back. That's the mindset that these young guys have to develop. It can't be like, I have to make the play. I have to make the throw. Take what they give you, and then let the other guys on the football team do their job.
You know, Joe, got to ask you about the whole saga surrounding the Skins' left tackle, Trent Williams. How do you think this does play out?
I think Trent's going to probably wind up sitting out a portion of the year. I don't see the Redskins trading him. I don't see that as a possibility. He has 2 years left on a contract, so if he sits out, it really isn't going to help him. We've got two guys, Donald Penn, who came in after 14 years, Donald playing left tackle. Jaron Christian is the kid we drafted, is playing left tackle. And so, you know, it's a position where you can help from an offensive line standpoint. You can put a tight end there. You can chip with backs. Trent's a terrific football player, 7-time Pro Bowler. Here's the thing is, in the last 5 years, he's averaged 12 games a season. So he's only played 3/4 of the season in the last 5 years. 3 years ago, he was the highest paid offensive lineman in football. This year, coming into this year, he'd be the 6th highest paid offensive lineman in football. Evidently, they say the issue is in money. Money is always an issue. Don't kid yourself. I think for everybody. And in this case, I just don't see him trade them. I see him probably sitting out, and he's going to lose about $800,000 every week he sits out.
Have the Skins done everything they can to try and resolve this issue he's got with the medical staff?
I have not been privy to any conversation, so I really couldn't speak on that.
Okay.
But here's the thing I think about is he has an issue with the medical staff, right? That's been made public, so we hear that. What happens if he gets hurt? The medical staff has to come out and take care of him. Oh, by the way, the Washington Redskins medical staff received medical staff of the year in the National Football League last year. I don't know what the issue was with Trent. I don't know, you know, why he has the feelings he has towards them. It looks like he's dug his heels in. He has, he doesn't really have a leg to stand on in this situation. You're going to lose a lot of money. The Redskins aren't going to trade you. You have 2 years left on a contract. Ryan Kerrigan has 2 years left on a contract. You know, he said, I'm not going to play for Bruce Allen. I'm not going to play for the Washington Redskins. Okay. You know, next year, at the end of this year, if you sit out, you still have 2 years left on a contract. And you're 31 years old. Now you're 32 years old.
Yeah, it's a tough spot because he's...
Now you continue to go down. You know, to me, you know, hey, if you're upset with everybody, come in, pull a hamstring.
Right.
You know, those things linger for a lot of games. You know, there's ways, and I continue to try real hard and understand, other than the fact that the only thing I've been able to conclude is that he is just really upset with some element of the organization, and that it's really not football related.
No, it isn't. Hey, Joe, we appreciate the time and the comments this morning. We really do. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and thanks again for the time.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Great catching up with you.
Yes, sir. Same here, bud.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.